like downstairs eating whatever the fuck. It's weird with my phone. I have it set up to where at a certain time it just goes into nighttime mode, so you don't get the loud active notifications, so you're not really hearing shit. But at a certain time, I'll just scroll down, see if I may get a text or whatever the case may be. This was 1:30, well, 1:30, 1:35-ish. I'm just scrolling, just not really expecting shit, looking at my phone. I'm like, oh, I got a notification from Twitter. I got a notification from Bleacher Report. I got a notification from ESPN. I got a notification from fucking
Why are
CBS
they always
Sports.
doing this?
It's wild shit.
Why are they
It really
always
is.
doing this?
It's wild shit. I'm like,
That's how you know they're cheating. Like, dog.
in real shit, I'm looking at it, and because sometimes after, like, especially big games, they'll get the notifications of the recaps long after. So I'm thinking these are just shits about the Devontae Adams of it all from Monday Night Football. I'm thinking it was because of game three or four of the
What
World
happened with that
Series.
Devontae Adams?
He just,
I don't
hey,
like
now flip this quarterback. You kind of chose this situation, long story short.
No,
Like,
no, he chose Derek Carr, his man.
fair.
He chose.
That nigga left after year one. You could have easily said, nah,
That's
fuck
the
that.
worst part.
Fucking trade.
That's the worst part. He didn't leave. They said, we don't want your man is dog shit. That's what they told him. Your man is trash. We do not fuck with your man. You are one of the best receivers in the NFL, though. We are not trading you. Thank you for coming, dumbass.
Really?
But welcome to Vegas. Hey, no state tax. No state tax. He got his bag. He close a bit to, to Fresno. I know what you're saying.
The whole gambling shit, as long as you're not in the vicinity, you can just
Facts.
triple your game check.
Hey, just
You're
like,
lying.
hey, look. I'll give you, hey, access to the sphere.
All right.
Hey, you can keep the gate.
You get
You're
the
gonna reach
gate.
this ass in the stress, dog. Hey, nobody got that. Not even Kareem.
Oh, I'm so mad about that shit canceling, but I'm thinking that it's a completely different show. I'm thinking it's Monday Night Football. I'm
We
thinking
can
it's
go
the
all over
World
the place. This all
Series.
over the place.
My bad, my bad.
No, I'm saying we can.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tapping on it. Pause.
I mean, why would we assume that that's gay?
I tapped on the
I
notification.
would think that my first thought wouldn't be tapping on a dude. What are you doing?
All caps. All caps and notification
Did
reads.
you get a Dwight Howard notification? Like, what is
Hey,
this going on? Like, are you kidding?
nigga.
My fault. My
All
fault. Oh,
right.
shit. Okay. All right. What were you saying?
But notification read, all caps, James Harden trade to the Clippers. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really like, oh, like I wasn't jumping up and down running. I'm just like, okay. Like, in my mind, it was kind of an expected thing. I just didn't know when. But James Harden's now traded to the Los Angeles Clippers.
So, what do you think about that?
I think only wanted to talk about the team and like the wins, of course, because that's a whole like there's a whole nother conversation of like, yo, James Harden can't keep getting away with this. But James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, all like the most, not the most, but one can at least bring up the idea of it being the most talented starting lineup in the entire league.
Yeah,
Much
I
less
actually
the
just
Western
recently
Conference.
thought about like what that starting line, what we think the starting lineup should be if they're not doing any fucking bullshit.
It's like so you can have James Harden result back to being a shooting guard, even though he can obviously still bring the ball up the floor,
You
he
have
can still
three
make
MVPs on
plays.
the team.
You do?
You have three MVPs on the team, and they're the third and fourth best player on the team. That's
It's crazy. And so my overall thing, just what the finish line could be for the Clippers, is the same finish line of what that team could be for going into year five of this combination of it starting with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. This is a talented fucking team, but how surprised are we going to be if from All-Star break on, they play a collective 12 to 18 games together?
I mean, there's a good reason to believe that, but I would like to think that's not going to be the case.
I
But
would love for that
there's
to
good
not be
reason to
the
think
case,
that.
but this is year five of what was already seen at the time, the best pairing in all of basketball with two top
No,
tier
it's
two-way
true.
players. They can easily drop 30. They can easily strap up your favorite players. They can easily be all defensive first teams, all this different type of
But
shit.
you're forgetting one very important thing.
Which is
Paul George is in bully mode.
Hey,
it's playoff P all season.
Let's cut that shit right now, right?
Oh shit!
I too, think that Paul George is a great player, one of the top 12 to 15 players that we have in today's game. That don't mean shit to me when it comes to like what the bottom line. Like,
no, he on his bully shit, dog.
Your bully shit could end up being 25-5-8. Kawhi can easily still do his 30-10-7, and you're still losing.
How are they losing? I didn't even talk about Harden's triple double, Russ's triple double, Zubac's 20-10.
Russ
Mason Plumlee's 8-8.
Russ can still put up 16-20 points, but in order for him to do that, the players who need to have the ball in their hands aren't probably going to get those types of looks. Then you have James Harden, who I think if he's healthy and can stay through this entire season, has all of the tools to still be one of the best point guards in all of basketball. He can still score, but he's in a point in his career where I believe he doesn't want to score first.
No, we need to make James Harden great again. He's playing the two.
So you want to do...
Hey, we only need one point guard. Russ, go get all the triple doubles you can. Go get all the triple. We don't need two niggas trying to do that. James Harden, you are a great scorer.
Yeah.
You just kind of cheated the game to do that. But outside of the cheating the game with all the free throws and everything, probably added, 8 to 10 points a game.
Yeah.
But he was averaging like 35.
Well, what do you think about the efficiency conversation when it comes to assist to turnover ratio, as opposed to, because like whenever, like we always, it's always talked about of efficiency in the sense of shooting percentages, true shooting, free throw shooting, all of that. But a very important thing of that is assist to turnover ratio, especially if you're going to be at those pivotal positions of being the playmakers of the team. Like, you have two of the better playmakers we've seen in the past decade plus.
I think they need to play the winning style of basketball of, we are just going to all be dogs on defense. And, oh, God, apparently we have the greatest defender in the league, possibly, apparently, allegedly.
Okay.
And then we got Paul George, who's a very capable defender in his own right.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is crazy, but back in the day, James Harden was a defender. Like I remember, like, hey, look, hey, we're putting him on Kobe. Like, granted, Kobe will still do what he wanted to do, but he didn't make things difficult. So in a certain role, I think he can play solid defense, solid enough on like the third best player, because you still got Kawhi and Paul. And then Russ is just a dog through and through. Mm-hmm. If they try to play that 2013 Heat ball or like the 95-96 Bulls type of ball, like, mm-hmm, we got some D you up and then scoring transition and all that. Like,
well, like they can do it, but that was also the defense of, I mean, basically a watered down version of the way Michael Jordan played defense.
That's what I'm saying.
You're going for the steals. Like, in today's game, at least, you're probably going to get called for those reach-ins way more than they did back then. Like, you can still do...
A lot of guys are still careless with the ball. Like,
that's true.
So you don't have to, reach and all that shit.
They were good enough to even borderline great types of defenders for their roles, for their positions and circumstances within their team. So I agree with the idea that when it's a collective thing of wanting to play defense, they can still be one of the best defensive teams. Even throughout these past couple of years, they've still been one of the better defensive teams.
No, actually, they haven't.
They haven't? Oh, shit.
No.
No, my fault.
No, no. They've been getting like 115 points a game. Like, Utah had like 123 the other day against them. Like, that's the thing. Like, they know they can play defense because they know they can when it matters. They don't do it in the regular season at all. Like, they are.
This is a team that's just on them. Let's just get to March and April, and we can take care of the rest.
The problem is they don't be getting there. They haven't been. But you added another superstar, and I still believe in James Harden. Some niggas think that Tyrese Maxey is better than him, so it was a win-win.
From scheme and fit, I have zero questions when it comes to how is this team gonna mesh. That's not an issue by any stretch of the imagination. Like, the only thing...
If it meshes, then it proves KD was the problem.
Okay. What? But the thing is, and pardon me if this is just hammering home what a lot of people, not everybody, has been saying, but it has been a rather valid thing. The only thing that niggas have against this team is availability or lack thereof when it comes to this team. Them together, playing a majority of the games, they can and will be one of the best teams in the entire league, not just the Western Conference. But let's say we already fast forward to March, April, and we're safe to say still expecting what the top teams of the Western Conference are capable of doing. How easy, if at all, are they beating the Golden State Warriors or the Nuggets or shit, even the Sacramento Kings, because that still surprised the fuck out of me, not just what they did last year, but what they're still doing even without De'Aaron Fox being there consistently over these first couple of games. Like it was announced before the Pelicans game even started that De'Aaron Fox wasn't playing against the Warriors.
What are you talking about?
De'Aaron Fox for a second, like them beating the top teams of the Western Conference. Like, are they beating, like, how easy, if at all, are they beating Denver or Golden State or Sacramento? The Clippers. Yeah, like this Clippers team.
Oh, wait, I mean, you got to, I mean, look, they don't have an answer for Jokic, but you got to remember, I'm racist. So, hey, Jokic, like, that nigga have to average, like, 50, 20, and 30 for them niggas to win in my mind.
Oh, shit.
Like, ain't no fucking way. Hey, you know I love Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, high-energy player, Jamal Murray, you know, hey, BBN,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, nigga, we talking about MVPs as the third and fourth best player.
Yep.
We're talking MVPs are there, Michael Porter Jr. And Aaron Gordon. Former MVPs. And the only reason why they're not playing at that MVP level is because they are now the third and fourth best players. Put them niggas by themselves with the Magic. Put them niggas by themselves with, I'm sorry, LaMelo, but the Hornets. Well, put them niggas, and the Wizards. We saw what Russ did not too long ago.
Absolutely. Like the numbers could probably still be there.
Well, they won't be because of the team, but.
But even then, point being, wins aren't really going to be there for
them. Hmm?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think this was perfect because also they can still rest niggas.
Oh, no, no, no.
Given the new policy, because you can't rest more than two or something like that.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So, like, they're forced, but that's the thing. We can have musical chairs and we'll always have a big three on the floor.
Well, yeah, no. The Clippers ones are fine. I was saying to the point of them, if they were number one options in those types of situations for being like the MVP caliber level, I don't think that the MVP caliber level of those guys are really there. Like, I think, like, they don't really have much of a choice, regardless of if it was them or not, to put up the types of stat lines that they have been putting up.
Duh. Cam Thomas is averaging 33 points a game.
Yes, he is. Back to back to back, you know. Like
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was an All-NBA first-team player.
And former Clipper, which was nuts.
He was an All-NBA first-team player.
Yep.
Put James Harden on the team by himself. He's an All-NBA first-team player. Minimum second team. Put Russell Westbrook on a team by himself. Minimum third team.
Okay.
Those are they're them.
No, numbers are great.
They are them.
Wins, I don't know.
Yeah, but the thing is, and I mean, I agree, wins is what matters. But like in today's NBA, like I mean, niggas love Damian Lillard.
who now is a chance to win?
Does he?
I mean,
they've been worse.
They just
got their ass beat by Atlanta.
My biggest argument when it came to the Damian Lillard of it all is we're now seeing a situation that we've never seen before, which is him with expectations. So sure. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think it's time to tell the truth on this whole James Harden trade. Daryl Morey's a bitch.
Okay.
Daryl Morey has officially made my hate list. If he wasn't on it already, I don't remember. But fuck Daryl Morey.
Talk about
he's
a 180.
Bitch-ass nigga. No, fuck that.
Mm.
Fuck that shit. So you're going to do all this shit during the entire offseason, all this bullshit, like, nah, we're not trading, you know, you're going to blah, 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 and you're still going to bend over and spread your cheeks and give James Harden what he wants. Fuck this player empowerment shit. I'm sick of it. Like, hey, on a completely different end, like, yeah. James Harden, cool, you got out, you were the Clippers, that's what you wanted to be, yada, 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 but like, nigga, no. Fuck player empowerment. I'm so dead ass about that shit. Fuck player empowerment because they're being women about it. They're abusing it.
Yeah,
they're abusing this shit. Like it's like
transfer portal shit.
Because look, 10 years ago,
yeah,
a niggas if Andrew Luck would have said, "Yeah, I want ownership of the Colts," we'd be like, "Nigga, if you shut your dumb ass up,
yeah.
This is what we've evolved into. Fuck player empowerment. Obviously, Caleb Williams is not going to get that, but this shit is fucking crazy. We're just giving you. So you're basically telling these guys, if you don't like the team that you're on, just bitch, moan, and complain, and you'll be on, able to be on whatever team you want to be on. Your contract's already guaranteed. No.
It's been talked about.
No. Because eventually, one day, there's going to be a nigga. Because I'm just seeing how this leads, because we've already, in this short amount of time, we've seen what player empowerment can do.
Yep.
It will not be long until there's a nigga out there that sees just like, all right, at the end of the day, all y'all really give a fuck about is like the legacy and what we accomplished and what we did for real. So I am doing 1 year deals. I'm doing 1 year deals. I have no shame about it. I will play with every team in the NBA. I'll be loved or hated everywhere. Just imagine it'd have to be an ultimate unicorn. So imagine if Victor Wembanyama exceeds all expectations. Mm-hmm. So imagine he exceeds all expectations throughout his career, what they say LeBron's done. Mm-hmm. So imagine Victor Wembanyama does that. But at the end of this season, he's just like, yeah, no, the St. Antonio shit was cool, but now I want to go to Denver now. All right, cool. We did what we did. All right, cool. Fuck that. I want to go. Because who's stopping him? What's stopping them? These GMs and these front offices aren't standing on shit.
Yep.
They're literally getting ran over by the players. At some point, because here's the thing. If you keep allowing the players to dictate and get everything that they want, nigga, what if AI? You don't need GM. We don't need a GM.
Yeah.
And AI can make these decisions. Yeah. And AI can write this contract.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you, Daryl Morey.
So I'm saying this. And this, of course, isn't every type of situation, but the idea of what it probably should have been was brought up for in the past. What do you say to the argument of, or at least people wanting to sell the idea of, there have been more situations than not of there being malpractice from front office, which would lead into said utilization of player empowerment? Again, safe to say that's not every single situation, but a lot of those athletes are definitely going to try and that idea.
But define malpractice. I would certainly think that the standards, I would hope that they're all the same.
Yeah.
But I would think that the standards for a guest, the Quick Trip, the restaurant at Quick Trip, I would certainly think that, you know, the quality and standards are different there than you would get at like a Fleming's.
The Jordan versus everybody shit, right?
Uh-huh.
Imagine player empowerment being brought up and utilized, considering how niggas thought about Jerry Krause.
Exactly. With player empowerment, Michael Jordan would have been a Laker or a Knick.
Okay.
And nowadays, in today's, because Michael Jordan didn't win until like year 8 or 9, nowadays, niggas aren't sticking it out 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. You're not doing this. Steph was drafted in 09. 10 years in 09, he's already a three-time champ.
Yep.
There's no reason to have any speculation or think or wonder anything. Fucking Kevin Durant, 10 years in, he was a champ, but that's because he had left.
Yep.
But the fucking, there isn't, it's not that anymore. It's not, and that's okay. I mean, it's not, but, fine. You're empowered to do what you want to do. But at the same time, Daryl Morey, you were empowered to do a fucking job as well.
Yeah.
And that job wasn't to be raped by the players.
Didn't do his job. So what was the moment in your eyes that snowballed into this? Like what was the moment of this past iteration of the Sixers that said, oh, this isn't gonna last? Cause already niggas saying Joel Embiid is making those conversations as we speak.
The Bucks winning the championship. Because that basically more or less solidified that Giannis is better than Joel Embiid. I don't even know if they've met in the playoffs ever, honestly. Mm-hmm. But during that run, I don't think they met. But what I mean by that is the style. I mean, Joel Embiid is great. He's a reigning MVP. He's averaged 33 and yada yada and all that shit. But for whatever reason, his style, he's not Giannis.
Yep.
Not a knock towards him, because who he is great.
Yep.
But their styles are different.
Yep.
Like, Joel Embiid is more polished. He is more, he has a bag. He can actually do things with the ball. Giannis is just going straight at the rim, getting there. But
that's proven to win.
Yep.
This whole dominant big man center, like, no, that shit. Like, I mean, even though Giannis is technically that, the way that Giannis does it is not the same.
Yep.
So I think when the Bucks won in 2021, that pretty much solidified, like, and then also, I think 2021, that was the same year, yeah, because the Hawks won the conference finals. Mm. So, like, nigga, y'all couldn't even get there. Yep. We want to put the blame and the onus on Ben Simmons, but if Joel Embiid is who he's supposed to be, that shouldn't even have been. Now, granted, Ben Simmons was supposed to be somebody, too.
Yeah.
But both of their lives changed that day when Ben Simmons didn't do what he should have did. But if Joel Embiid is so great, because say what you want about Chris Middleton, I don't think he's better than Ben Simmons, at least a locked-in, capable Ben Simmons. What Ben Simmons was before he before that game six, I want to take him over that. I want to take Jrue Holiday over that. Like, I think the 76ers had a better team.
Yeah.
And then also they ran into Kawhi and them.
Yeah.
So at some point, it's just not going to happen.
Mm.
It's just not going to happen. And that trade that they made, they got, I mean, they added depth, but.
It's not
what I'm saying. Like, that's why I'm really just fucking sick and tired of Daryl Morey and front offices in general. You were sticking your dick out talking about, nigga, we not trading you. Shut the fuck up.
Hey,
you are an employee. I'm dropping my nuts on the table. You work for me, boy. And then ends up trading him and gets no value.
Shit.
No value.
Well, I was told Tyrese Maxey is that nigga.
I was told Tyrese Maxey will do just fine.
I'm just saying. That is something that was said to me.
No, Tyrese Maxey's cool. Tyrese Maxey, I don't hate Tyrese Maxey. The problem is, like, there's, like, I think he's like the sixth or seventh best Wildcat in the NBA.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's getting talked about so much is fucking insane, in my opinion.
Like, is it a...
No, it's just low IQ.
Yeah, so it...
Tyrese Maxey isn't trash, but there's other guys in the NBA today. Hell, there's other point guards in the NBA today that went to Kentucky that are better than Tyrese Maxey.
If you're doing what I think you're doing right now, let's ask the question.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
What is the hierarchy of Kentucky players in the NBA today?
I don't know. I can't do hierarchy, but I was right now just thinking of the players in the NBA off the top of my head in this quick moment that I would rather have over Tyrese Maxey. And again, shout out Tyrese Maxey. I love Kentucky, BBM, my man. Like, cool. I would take over Tyrese Maxey. Yeah. I would take. So, hey, look, I don't know shit. I ain't nobody worth it.
Like
Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Anthony Davis.
Fair.
This is how trash I am. The name that I just added, I'm going to go in just random order.
Right.
Devin Booker. Yeah, I forgot about him. I was already like 6-7 in and I forgot. Devin Booker. He hasn't performed the way that he should have been, but he's still low-key him.
Right.
Cole Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I'll take Carl Anthony Towns over Tyrese Maxey.
He's still good. Absolutely.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. All NBA first team. Averaging 30.
Nope.
Averaging 30.
They got like 34 the other night.
Yeah. I think he's better than Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, I think so.
De'Aaron Fox.
Definitely think so.
Okay. Jamal Murray. All right.
Champion.
You don't say. Julius Randle. Okay. That might be questionable. That might be questionable for some people. But hey, I fuck with him. I rock with him. That might be my bias. That's okay. I tried to eliminate my bias, but here's the thing. I see Maxey and Tyler Hero in the same fucking vein.
Okay.
I see Maxey and Tyler Hero in the same fucking vein. Because here's the thing. The only reason why this whole Tyrese Maxey thing is even a thing is because Ben Simmons.
Mm.
If Ben Simmons wasn't going through what he was going through, Tyrese Maxey would be that guy coming off the bench that we know, like, all right, whatever, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That nigga could be a shot creator.
And I think a lot of guys in the NBA don't flourish because they don't get the opportunity. We were talking about this last season when Cam Thomas came out to the scene, not me and you, but me and Jeff.
Right.
When Cam Thomas came out to the scene, like, I think there's a lot of guys in the NBA, if they were given the opportunity, hey, fuck it, take 25 shots tonight. If you allow just about anybody in the NBA 25 shots, they probably gonna get you 30.
You would think?
Well, Tyrese Maxey has a green light for every shot that Joel Embiid doesn't want to take.
which is wild to think about, like with Joel Embiid. Bigs who can be shot creators don't really, like, I don't feel them as being super effective as the way people want them to be. And I say big in the sense of, like, we know about the guys that, like, we think what Victor can do, maybe even a Chet Holmgren can do, like, we've seen it with, like, the KDs or whatever the case. But, like, big in the sense of, yeah, you are 6'11 plus, but you're also 315, 325 plus. Like, Joel Embiid being a shot creator is a wild thing to think about. Julius Randle is a big, which is a wild thing to think about as far as being a shot creator. Like, that sounds great. That should not be your first go-to whenever you come up the floor. Not saying you need to run somebody over like being a Giannis type of dude, like, but that's, like, be the true greatest version of Dirk Nowitzki. Be Kevin Love, but can put the ball on the rope if you
want. He can't shoot like Dirk. That's the thing. Joel Embiid, he can get you 30. He can get you the double-double because he's so big and, like, just by natural positioning, he'll probably be in the area to be able to get those rebounds. But he's – the game has changed. The bigs that you need to win are either, like, Jokic or they're 6'7". It ain't really much in between.
Yeah.
Like, you either have a big that does everything, he gets everybody involved, he's able to exploit all those mismatches because there just aren't enough centers in the game today that are able to cover and have the IQ to understanding and knowing, like, all right, cool, I'm here, boom, pass, rebound. I'm like, Jokic is not a great athlete by any means, like Luka.
Yeah.
But because of their IQ and what they're able to, like, all that, that's, you either have a nigga like that or you're playing small ball.
But pardon the circle back, but you're always on the side of Sixers should run through Ben Simmons, right?
Yes, 1,000%.
Okay.
Because I still believe that Ben Simmons and Giannis are, like, the same player.
Like, we're seeing that a little bit already with Brooklyn.
And the only difference is Ben Simmons is an exponentially better passer than Giannis could ever dream. So because of that, Ben Simmons is better. But, you know. It's funny how, like, sometimes they want to look at, like, what players are able to do in deciding if they're better, and then, like, at other times, like, fuck that nigga.
Yep.
Because, like, Ben Simmons, we saw what he was able to do, but what if I told you, like, Lonzo Ball can do all that and shoot? Even though, like, I know you're conditioned to believe that he can't shoot, but, like, he actually can.
He got better.
Like, really well.
He did.
I mean, he was never bad. He just had mental shit.
Yeah.
Like, on that Mark Hill.
Yeah. I will never forget that second game. Like, that literal second game of Lonzo's career.
Against Phoenix. But everybody forgets it because, you know, that first game against Patrick Beverly.
Hey.
I ain't forget 27-7-7 or 27-10-10 or some shit. Like, nigga went crazy. Second game.
Yep.
Second fucking NBA game.
Well, like, what was the issue with him? Like, health-wise right now? Like it's a leg thing, but I just don't know.
Degenerative knees, though. They think this shit. And then also they think the shoes. The shoes kind of fucked his feet up. Yeah. But hey, that's just what happens when you're the oldest son and, like, you love your dad. You know what I mean? The younger sons get the benefit of being like, yeah, nah, fuck that. So, hey, it's cool, though.